And we'll continue the Lord Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. When you read it, you may get one impression, but when you dig a little deeper and look at the context, you realize there's something different going on. And so my comment would be to all of us and to anybody, beware of the crowd. Beware of the mob. Beware of the way everything's going. Beware of popularity. I don't know if your children ever said, but mine probably did. I don't recall because I don't remember nothing anyway. But you know what everybody's doing. Everybody's doing it. And my answer was, so? That doesn't mean anything. To walk with God, you kind of go against the grain of what everybody is doing. And I want you to look in verse 8. And let's first go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace. We ask you to encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says in verse 8, this is after Jesus has come riding in. And it says, a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others sat down, put down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. The first thing they did as Jesus was riding in was they took garments, clothes, and they threw them in the road. Part of that was symbolic to symbolize respect for the one who was riding as a king, to signify submission to his authority. And so part of that was a recognition and a submission. A king is coming through. The second thing they did was they took branches. Well, we know from John 12:12, it was palm branches. And he says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So they brought palm branches and they put those down. And there could be different reasons for that, probably the same idea, but Revelation 7:9 says this, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, I'm not sure they signified that, but it does signify in the time of Revelation of salvation and joy and the victory we have in Christ. They were coming to praise him and to honor him, but not for the reason you think. Verse 9 says, their first response, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna in Hebrew means to praise and to give honor, but it also means, the word means to save us now. Save us. Save us now. And so the first thing they were recognizing was, we want you to save us. Save us now. But I don't necessarily think, some may have been, but I don't think all of them were saying, save us now and Hosanna and praise to you because you're coming to bring us salvation. I think they were praising God and saying, save us now, because they wanted a deliverer from Rome. They wanted someone to save them, not in salvation spiritually, but to save them from the powers of Rome. The second thing they use was Son of David. Son of David. And you know, Son of David, always Jesus in Matthew 1 said he was the son of Abraham and the son of David. Son of Abraham means that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, or through Abraham, salvation begun, that then goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Son of David means that God promised David there would be a king. that would forever sit on the throne, eternally, that would sit on the throne of David. Well, we understand and know that probably is referring to that in the end of time, Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom will sit as king on the throne of David forever. Son of Abraham refers to the salvation that came through him. Son of David refers to his kingship and his rulership. Though they had the right words and though they were singing the name of the Lord, I don't think they necessarily meant salvation as we understand it. But they were welcoming a conquering king. This comes from Psalms 118, which they sang in the Old Testament when Maccabeus, between the silent years, came and conquered those that were ruling over in Syria, ruling over the Israel's, the Jews, and he came and took back the temple that they had desecrated and conquered them, and they sang this psalm, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord. They sang this psalm. So I'm not so sure that some felt that, but the crowd was not singing Hosanna because we are welcoming the king who will save us. I think they were singing because we are welcoming the king who will save us from Rome, who will save us from the domination we're under. And they missed the whole point. Even though it said he comes in the name of the Lord, they missed the whole point. Otherwise, 5 days later, why would they all abandon him? Why would they abandon him? Because they wanted salvation from Rome, not the true spiritual salvation that Jesus Christ was bringing. Now, you notice one verse, it says they were coming ahead and behind. We don't know how many people there were, but there was a crowd. And they were all whipped up in enthusiasm and praise and all of this. And some may have understood what they were doing, but I think for the vast majority, this praise was missing the point. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted someone to conquer Rome for them. They missed the whole point. Because then when Jesus Christ was offered up to be sacrificed, what did the crowd say? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Because they didn't want a Savior who would die for their sins. They wanted a king who would come and deliver them from the oppression of Rome, from Rome ruling over the Jewish nation. That's what they wanted, was that kind of king. Now, some, of course, knew who they were saying, and they were saying all the right words, but I think in the heart, the crowd just got whipped up into the fact, we want a king. We want an earthly king to deliver us. You know, you kind of see that today. People don't want a spiritual king. They want a king to save them from their sins. They want somebody to save them from their circumstances and from their problems. They want an earthly person. And people look to that. But they didn't understand fully that before Jesus Christ could become the conquering king of which they were saying of, he had to become the sacrificial lamb. He had to die on the cross for us. And so 5 days later, this was on Sunday, 5 days later when he was to be crucified, where was the crowd? They were gone. I remember a preacher one time preaching, a famous preacher in Dallas First Baptist Church when I went to hear him preach. And he very humorously said, you know what, I'm going to go to the doctor and the doctor's telling me all this, and this is what I need to do. And he comes back 6 months later, and the doctor says, well, how's it going? He said, it isn't working. It isn't working. Well, try this. I said, well, that's something different. He says, you don't understand. We've come a long way in 6 months. Why, things have changed. We've improved so much. In other words, things keep changing in the world. Things keep changing all the time. What's popular today may not be popular tomorrow. Anybody remember those leisure suits? Was that the 70s? I still have two leisure suits in my attic. Can't fit in them. But I have leisure suit. I haven't seen anybody lately wear a leisure suit. Jerry, those things are kind of gone. Have you noticed? I love it when people say, well, the styles are changing. There's sort of a rebelliousness in me that says, I want to say, well, so what? I don't care. I'm going to still wear blue shoes if I want to. Because times change. What people are saying is popular today may not be tomorrow. Whatever their reasons, whatever their motivation on Sunday, it changed on Friday. That's how up and down they were. I don't know how many it was, but it was a crowd. It was a big crowd saying all these things. But then the crowd left him. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and they gathered in the upper room, there was about 120. Many people left him. Even the disciples ran from the cross. I was studying recently that many of the women stayed and were there at the cross. But most of the disciples ran off. Oh, we're scared. You know what? One of the things you can learn from this, be careful of the crowd. Be careful of what's popular. Be careful of what's the end thing, because it can change at a moment's notice. It can change to be something else. People who are saying it's this way now and blah, 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 may change come Friday. I would have never dreamed that today what is talked about and promoted is actually you're condemned if you're not for it. That wasn't even that way 10 years ago. It's changed that much. The crowd does not determine the action. The crowd does not determine what's right and wrong. What determines right or wrong are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ and those who follow him and those who stay with him and those who are committed to him. I've seen over the years, in 25 years, I've kind of seen some come and go. Kind of sad. Come and go. There's an sense of enthusiasm. They come and then they go. Years ago, and I shouldn't say this, but I'll say it. Years ago, someone joined our church and got saved, and their life was changed, and they become being faithful to the church. And they were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And they began to look around, see how many people were not here, and it bothered them. And I remember saying to them, I shouldn't say it, but I said, don't worry, you'll catch up one day. You'll become like the rest of them. And sure enough, just like the rest of them. No longer just a Sunday morning person. You know what? The crowd doesn't determine the right and wrong. The crowd doesn't determine what's going on. The crowd got all excited for whatever reason. But come Friday, the crowd said goodbye. And not only did it say goodbye, it said crucify him. Crucify him. I don't know if you'll have it in the musical, but they'll say, crucify him, crucify him. We've done it before. Crucify him. The crowd changed. Be careful of the crowd. Then notice in verse 10, second response. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The crowd then, when they moved in the city, said, well, who is this fella? They've just been saying, son of David. They've just been saying, Hosanna to the king. And then they come and say, well, you know, we're not sure who this is. We heard it. I think maybe he's a prophet from Nazareth. This is Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus for 3 years had been healing, had been raising the dead, had been doing great things. He even in the middle of Matthew and told the disciples, who do you say I am? I'm the son of the living God. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I'm the one come to save you from your sins. And the crowd goes, well, I wonder who this guy is. Well, everybody's so excited about him and carried on. And somebody goes, well, I think maybe, isn't he that prophet, that Jesus from Nazareth? Somebody like that? The crowd didn't understand who he really was. The truth is, the world gets stirred up over something. But it's only the people who stayed. It was only the few when he was crucified who stayed with him. After Jesus' resurrection, he gathered all the disciples together. He confirmed, he forgave Peter. He encouraged Peter three times, like he denied him three times, and encouraged him. And they become some of the greatest, greatest people of the New Testament in their preaching and what they did. It was not the crowd that followed. It was the few, the proud, and the Marines. Isn't that the way it says that? However that said. The few, proud, and Marines. Something like that. It was the few. It was committed. Now that don't mean that there can't be a crowd of Christians who love the Lord, because I believe they're all over the world. But if you compare that with the world, if you listen to the world, I get amused at people who say, oh, he's a Christian. I just say, I ain't saying a word. I'm not saying a word, because I don't think they're a Christian. They don't represent the Christian faith. Beware of the crowd. I've told you before, when I was in high school, way back yonder at the turn of the century, when I was in high school, in 1904, you know what the popular thing to do was? To drink. Not Mountain Dew, but alcohol, and to get drunk on the weekends. There was only two of us on the basketball team that didn't do that. But the crowd, it was popular. They were all going that way, man. Isn't it great? I remember we had a revival one time at First Baptist Door, and somebody got up and confessed something, and oh, everybody got all revived, and it lasted 2 weeks, and the crowd was all excited. They were praying before the basketball game. 2 weeks later, they weren't praying before the basketball game. They're all back to the same way. And here I was, little old Tim Phillips, just plugging along, you know, not following the crowd while they all go that way. Beware of the crowd. There's no young people here per se tonight, but I would say to young families, beware of the crowd. Keep your focus on Christ and commitment to him and love for him. Beware of what's going on. I listen to preachers oftentimes, and they come and they go. They come and they go. They get excited. And they go. They follow the latest wind, the latest thing, the latest thing. 5 days later, crucify. When on Sunday, they were supposedly claiming all this worship of the great king. I say again, beware of the crowd. Jesus has his followers. The crowd's going that way, but we're going this way. Against the stream, being committed to him. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, though the crowd said quite a few impressive words when Jesus came in, and those words were true. Some may have known it, some may have not. Don't know. But the truth is, 5 days later, they abandoned that and said, crucify him. Lord, the crowd can do all kinds of things, but it is the faithful people who just keep plugging along, who keep serving you, who keep walking with you, whom you are pleased with, whom you are encouraged by. It is those who are faithful, who keep serving you, who keep living for you, who keep walking with you. Lord, that's who we are, and help us to be that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.